Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Yakult Licensing Partnership conference call on the 14th of April 2011. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Ulrich Dauer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon in Europe and good morning to the US. My name is Uli Dauer, I'm CEO of 4SC, and I'm being joined by my colleagues from the management board, Dr. Bernd Hensch, our Chief Development Officer, and Enno Spöhner, our Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for joining us today and welcome to our conference call, which we proposed based on today's announcement of a licensing partnership with Yakult Honsha for our oncology compound Risminostat. Before I start going into more details of this partnership, I'd like to remind you that during this conference call, we may make projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. Now, we are very pleased that today we could announce 4SC and Yakult Honsha entering into an exclusive license agreement for the Japanese market with our oncology compound, the oral pan-HDAC inhibitor Risminostat. As you may recall, 4SC is currently developing Risminostat in three indications: hepatocellular carcinoma, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and KRAS mutant colorectal cancer. Risminostat has already shown positive interim data in 4SC's open label phase 2 trials, in our SHELTER trial in hepatocellular carcinoma, and the SAPPHIRE trial in Hodgkin's lymphoma patients. I have asked Bernd to update you in more detail in the course of our Risminostat trials later in this call. In the context of our agreement with Yakult Honsha, 4SC will grant to Yakult Honsha an exclusive license to develop and commercialize Risminostat in Japan. Yakult will develop Risminostat primarily in hepatocellular carcinoma and colorectal carcinoma and retains the right to develop and commercialize it in other oncology indications in Japan. In return, 4SC will receive an upfront payment of 6 million euros and up to 127 million euros in future payments, subject to the successful achievement of further predefined milestones, including clinical and regulatory milestones. In addition, 4SC will receive royalties in a double-digit range linked to product sales of Risminostat in Japan, which will include cost of active pharmaceutical ingredients, API. 4SC will be the exclusive supplier of Risminostat to Yakult Honsha, while Yakult Honsha will take on responsibility for all development and clinical requirements in Japan for Risminostat in hepatocellular carcinoma, colorectal carcinoma, and other chosen oncology indications. With this partnership, we've made an important step in executing on our strategy to translate our clinical achievements into commercial value. We are particularly pleased with Yakult Honsha being our partner, since Yakult Honsha is the market leader in the gastrointestinal oncology field in Japan and thus validating the potential of Risminostat in these important growth indications. The Yakult Honsha partnership will be an important element in our global development and commercialization strategy for Risminostat, with a goal to exploit its full clinical and commercial potential. Therefore, based on this partnership and the positive interim data from our Risminostat trials, we will intensify our business development processes and extend our invitation to further potential licensees in rest of world territories, while at the same time continue our commitment to effectively support the further development of Risminostat with own resources. I will now briefly turn the call over to Bernd Hensch for an update on our clinical Risminostat development. Bernd?
Yeah, thank you, Uli. So always from my side, we are very much looking forward to the collaboration in Risminostat with Yakult, and I would like to update you on the status of our clinical trials we are performing In the first place, I'm coming to the hepatocellular carcinoma trial, the SHELTER trial, in patients that are progressing under first-line sorafenib treatment. And in January, we presented data on the 2011 Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium co-sponsored by ASCO in San Francisco. And an update on these data basically is given here. We have now achieved a first tumor staging with 15 patients in our ongoing trial. The first tumor staging takes place after 6 weeks of treatment with resminostat, and what we do see is actually that we could stabilize those previously progressive patients, and nine out of 15, at 6 weeks of treatment. This translates to an interim progression-free survival rate of about 60%. So those patients then continue treatment into the second staging point, which is at 12 weeks, and at 12 weeks, still 7 out of those 9 patients that continued were still stable in their disease. This translates to an interim progression-free survival rate at 12 weeks of about 50% of the patients. Why is that time point of 3 months, 12 weeks so important to us? One has to see that in the first-line setting, sorafenib achieved approval for treatment of hepatocellular carcinoma patient with a prolongation of progression-free survival of roughly 3 months. So if we achieve now a 3-month stabilization in the second line, we believe that is clinically really meaningful. In the next trial, the Hodgkin's lymphoma trial, the SAPPHIRE study, we had previously described that we achieved in the first patient cohort of the so-called SIME stage 1, we had reached the per protocol predefined efficacy threshold to continue into the recruitment of a second patient cohort, the so-called SIME stage 2. We do see that the recruitment is continuing quite nicely, and we think that we will hold our data release in the second half of this year. And what we do see also is that the preliminary data from the first SIME stage patient cohort, the positive trend that we have seen there really continues now also into the second SIME stage patient population that we currently have under treatment. The last trial, the SHORE trial in advanced colorectal cancer, as we described earlier this year, is also actively recruiting patients. This is a second-line setting in which resminostat is used in combination with one of the standard chemotherapeutic backbone treatments, the so-called FOLFIRI treatment. Interestingly, FOLFIRI contains the chemotherapeutic drug irinotecan, and irinotecan actually was originated by Yakult, again offering a nice synergistic activity here in that collaboration. Having said that, it is also clear that for hepatocellular carcinoma in the combination with sorafenib and resminostat, as well as in Hodgkin's lymphoma and also for the colorectal patient population, we see opportunities to advance the use of resminostat also in earlier lines of treatment, first line, for example, in combination with sorafenib in hepatocellular carcinoma, earlier lines of treatment in combination or as maintenance therapy in Hodgkin's lymphoma, and earlier lines also may be possible in colorectal cancer, either in combination with FOLFOX and then entering into both first-line type of chemotherapeutic backbones, or, and that is also possible, advancing into KRAS wild-type patients, since in the current trial also only KRAS mutant tumor patients are being included. With these status, as well as a brief outlook into the future development, I would like to pass back to Uli.
Thank you, Bernd. Now, we strongly believe that with this partnership with Yakult Honsha, 4SC raises its profile as a potential licensor, in particular for resminostat in other territories, and as a partner in the development and commercialization of novel small molecules in autoimmune and oncology indications in general. With this partnership in place and multiple important clinical milestones ahead of us in the year 2011, including the completion of our phase 2B component trial with vedolizumab in rheumatoid arthritis during this quarter, and the completion of SAPPHIRE and SHELTER, our phase 2 trials with rosminostat in Hodgkin's lymphoma and hepatocellular carcinoma, we feel very well positioned to successfully continue to deliver on our growth strategy. Now with this, we are now available for your questions. Operator?
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. The questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Edouard Arberi from Equinet. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon. Well, I would like to start with three questions, if I may. So the first one is that the agreement mentioned about 130 million euro upon achievement of certain milestones. Could you maybe shed a bit more light on what kind of milestones you're mentioning here and what kind of timeline we could expect? The second question is, I think that Bernd, you spoke a little bit about that, but I didn't get everything you said, unfortunately. I think that Yakult sells also oxaliplatin, which, if I understood it correctly, is also a component of the FOLFOX regime. I know that the short study tests rosminostat with FOLFIRI, but could we imagine that Yakult will look to develop rosminostat with FOLFOX as well? And the third question, I mean, okay, well, rosminostat is an oral drug, and I mean, we have also other oral drug with different mechanism of action in colorectal cancer. So I think about, for example, Xeloda, Roche, oral capecitabine, and capecitabine is, from what I understood, nothing else than fluorouracil, which is also a component of FOLFOX and FOLFIRI. So, I mean, it's maybe too early to say, but what do you think about combining the combination of rosminostat and another oral drug in one pill to, let's say, to propose a combo therapy? I mean, this has fed the huge success of companies such as Gilead in HIV. Is something like this, I mean, possible or something that could be developed in a mid to long term view?
Okay, thanks Edouard for joining the call and your questions. This is Uli Dauer, and I start with the first one. So you were asking how the milestones actually will break down. You know, I hope that you will understand that it would not be perceived as a trustful start of this partnership if I would start disclosing details which we agreed with Yakult not to disclose at this very moment in time. So what I can say so far is that the milestones are equally scattered over the planned further development of rosminostat and are also linked to certain regulatory milestones, but more than that, I'm not able to comment on, unfortunately, at this moment in time. For question 2 and 3, I would hand over to Bernd.
Yes. Yeah, Eduard, certainly would like to come to your questions. I mentioned that Yakult is the originator of irinotecan, but you are fully right. They are also selling and marketing oxaliplatin, so they are also in the FOLFOX area active. Yakult is regarded as the healthcare enterprise for gastrointestinal health, so they look very deeply into cancer care, colon cancer care, and they are positioned there with all the required ingredients for the chemotherapeutic backbone treatment. We have now initiated our combination with FOLFIRI. It is, again, also as Uli pointed out, too early to list all opportunities that might advance out of a collaboration like this, but certainly FOLFOX, for us at least, would be one of the natural steps one could consider as the next wave of development. Then you asked about other oral drugs, and capecitabine, for example, is certainly one of the possibilities that we also take in consideration in our clinical activities, since they would at least to some extent lower the burden of intravenous injections. But still, that is being one of the mainstays in today's chemotherapeutic regimens. But again, capecitabine certainly is one of the compounds we also combine with our drug in the trials.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sachin Soni from, sorry, one second. Kempen and Company, please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, congratulations on this nice deal. I have two small questions. First, you say that it includes API royalties. So does that mean if I subtract the standard COGS, then net royalties are somewhere around mid-single digit? Or is it too harsh to say that? And second, on the deal outside Japan, would you be moving forward with the same indications with which the Japanese firm is also moving? And is there any problem in further partnering those indications with a separate pharma company, or is that completely independent? Thank you.
Yes, Sachin, thank you for your questions. To your first one, I think your projection you're making on the IPA, I would not share that with you. You know, I mean, first of all, we are responsible for providing API to Yakult during the marketing phase of this product. And, you know, if you look on standard shares, cost of goods shares of typical small molecule drugs, you probably would expect a similar range here. So I would not, you know, agree that the royalties would turn into a single-digit royalty when we subtract API. Now, to your second question, indeed we understand or we interpret this deal and we share that with Yakult as part of our global development strategy of Resminostat. And by no way we feel ourselves constrained or limited in our ability to partner in other territories in colorectal carcinoma or in hepatocellular carcinoma or in other indications. So it is really planned that the structure of our partnerships are such that important data is being exchanged between all developing parties, and that it is being made use of synergies in the clinical development. Now, as you can imagine, we do have a kind of clinical development plan attached to the contract, we are also involved in, you know, all important decisions that would have an impact on the development plan. So we feel ourselves by no means limited in our ability to partner with other players in rest of world territories.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sachin.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your phone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. We have a follow-up from Eduardo Aburi from Aquinet. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my follow-up. I was wondering, Uli, if you could maybe give us an indication on how much you've spent in developing Resminostat so far. And if I may add another question, yesterday you also announced that you pushed 202 in phase one. Could you maybe come back on the main difference between 202 and Belinostat or romidopsin, which are also HDACs in hematological indication. And I think that you've already said that there's some kind of effect on the spindle apparatus, which might be a point of differentiation for your drug?
Okay, so I try to answer your first question. So I don't have a detailed breakup for you available on the development costs of resminostat so far. You probably also remember that we took over this program when it was in early phase one stages from Nycomed in the context of a transaction where we essentially acquired 8 R&D oncology programs from them. What I just would like to what I like to want to make a little bit more clearer is really the context of the financial terms of this deal and the importance or the potential which is associated to resminostat. I mean, if you assume that Japan accounts for approximately 10% of the oncology market worldwide, and you would scale the deal along those lines, you can see what kind of, you know, potential Yakult is associating to resminostat. For the second question about the specific features of our second HDAC inhibitors in comparison to others, I would ask Bernd to comment on this.
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. Well, resminostat and 4SC202, so 202 being the drug that we announced yesterday to have entered into active treatment in the phase one trial, first in men trial. First of all, resminostat and 4SC202 belong to totally different chemical classes, just to start with. Secondly, they differ in their activity on the family of histone deacetylase enzymes, so it's a larger family of at least 11 isoenzymes, and resminostat is rather a PAR inhibitor, so inhibits all isoenzymes with rather similar inhibitory activity. For us, 202, in contrast, inhibits selectively so-called class 1 enzymes, so a subset of the isoenzymes only, and that might directly translate also in its in an additional activity that 202 specifically has, and that is a very strong anti-mitotic effect, meaning that treatment of tumor cells with 4SC202 leads to a destruction of the mitotic spindle machinery and then exiting into apoptosis via the cell division process, or during the cell division process. Resminostat instead rather induces the expression of tumor suppressor genes like P21 and arrests cells in G1 phase and then exiting into apoptosis via that arrest. So there is a different mode of action attached to the two molecules, and being different chemical classes, having different isoenzyme specificities, and 202 having a very selective mode of action by destruction of the spindle machinery really discriminates the two molecules to be very distinct from each other. So we believe that then we can also position them differently in the space of oncology.
Okay, and if I may just on 202 against the topo target and the cell gene compound.
Oh. Okay, the topo target belinostat is also a PAN inhibitor. It is mainly given IV. That also is, with respect to the topo target drug, a difference to resminostat as well as 4SC202, which are both orally applied drugs. And again, belinostat is an PAN inhibitor as well. Then there is the dapsipeptide, romidepsin, which is called now, which is also a rather a class 1 inhibitor, but it's also an IV drug, and as you know, it's a very complicated chemical structure. I believe that, for example, the cost of goods are rather expensive in that aspect. And then there are other drugs in development, like etinostat that you mentioned, which is also a rather class 1 inhibitor, and others which are PAN inhibitors. And we have to see also in the clinical setting now how 202 will differentiate from those. But we clearly believe that with the anti-mitotic activity that 202 specifically brings into the ballpark, we can place it very much in fast proliferating tumors, let it be fast proliferating lymphomas like Burkitt or even leukemias. I think that is rather the arena where 4C202 will be placed.
Well, thank you very much for both of you, and once again, congrats for the deal.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Thomas Scheisel from Equities. Please go ahead with your question.
Oi. Na gut. Yeah, this is Thomas Schiesler indeed, from Frankfurt speaking. Congratulations, gentlemen, on this impressive deal indeed. One question on the decision Yakult made to take the license. What, in your opinion, had been the major argument to take this license? Is this the DNA modifying structure of the resminostat? So, an absolutely different way to fight cancer, even in non-active cells. So to broaden their active ingredients and active components to fight cancer, or had it been another argument?
So you mean, this is Uli Dauer, you mean the argument from Yakult's perspective to choose 4C as a partner?
It's in a very early, or in a relative early stage of development, phase two. That's okay, but no final results presented right now.
Right. I mean, I think it's two important aspects. One is indeed the selection of indications, and as Bernd explained, they are a leader in gastrointestinal tumors with the sales of two important elements of chemotherapy regimens like oxaliplatin and irinotecan. So that was certainly a perfect fit for them. And then secondly, and that was also stated in our mutual announcement today, it was the preliminary data that convinced them to step into this partnership right at this very moment in time. I think that's the main arguments on the Yakult side to enter into this partnership.
Are you able to communicate how fast the next steps will be taken? So start of phase three, and will you be in active collaboration and actively supporting those further development steps with Yakult?
Yeah, I mean, we see this as one element in a global development strategy. What Yakult is doing actually from today on is taking care of the further clinical development in colorectal cancer and hepatocellular carcinoma in Japan. And of course, we will support that. And as I mentioned earlier, we will make sure that we can use all kind of synergies between clinical development in different territories. As far as, you know, precise timelines are concerned, it's very premature because, as you said, we haven't even finalized the phase two trials, which are currently ongoing, and certainly the outcome of those trials will certainly have an impact on the further development strategy or the further course of the development.
From your point of view, would it be appropriate to simultaneously develop the phase three trials in other territories, or is it absolutely not of interest?
No, that certainly would be an option to pursue a global phase three trial, and then Yakult could probably be responsible for the important part of the trial in Asia or in Japan in particular.
Okay, thanks so far.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Thank you, sir. There appear to be no questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, so if you allow me to close with some personal comments here. We indeed were very impressed with the high commitment, the dedication and reliability in Yakult Honsha proceeding in the negotiations with us, even despite the devastating and distraction the March 11 earthquake and its aftermath has been causing in Japan, and in particular also for Yakult, its employees and respective families and friends. So we'd really wish all Japanese people a fast and smooth way back into normality. We also would like to thank you for joining this call and your continued interest in 4SC. Thanks and bye for now.
Thank you. This does conclude your Yakult Licensing Partnership Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.